Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. In case you don't know who I am your host, Tramell Thompson. And today, we are going to get to it. We're going to get to it. Y'all see the title of the show. Local 100 is doomed, and New York City is going downhill. Now, y'all know how I like to start off the show. Please make sure that you like the video. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, make sure you like the video. You're watching on Twitter, please retweet. We're going to get to it today. We are getting to it today. I've seen one of the most embarrassing things as a Local 100 member today in the name of a press conference. But before I get into that, I'm here to let y'all know the phone lines will be open tonight. The phone lines will be open tonight, so make sure that you call to tune in, chime in, and we are going to get to it. We're getting to it today, people. We are getting to it. But like I said, make sure you guys like the video, share the video. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. It costs you nothing to subscribe to the channel. If you really support the platform, you could join the channel for 99 cents a month. Now, I just want to focus straight on the show. I don't want to do too much sharing. I need you guys, specifically on Facebook, please share out the live. Put it in every group that you're in. Put it on your personal page because we are growing as a movement, as a progressive action movement. And like I said, the phone lines are open today, 563-999-3714. I want to hear from you guys, especially while I'm working through all of these videos, because I'm going to break down that press conference video. And just to give you guys an idea how trash it was, how embarrassing it was abominable. And I can't believe that they are representing us on that type of level when it comes to union activism. Now, the first thing that I want to get into today is I want to highlight the Teamsters. You know, I hear a lot about, yo, Tramell, we need a new union, the Teamsters this, the Teamsters that. And the Teamsters is a good union, right? And they know how to play the game. And I just want to give you guys a quick, brief example of how the Teamsters play the game versus TWU and TWU Local 100. So let's check it out. The Teamsters was smart enough to invite all the presidential candidates for a meeting in regarding what are they going to do for their members. As you could see, the Teamsters met with my guy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., running as an independent. The Teamsters met with them, him. The Teamsters met with Trump. The Teamsters also met recently with Joe Biden. Now, my question is, why isn't TWU and Local 100 doing the same thing? See, the reason why they're not doing the same thing is because Local 100 is tied to that thing I was talking about on the last show called political tribalism. Political tribalism. They are tied down to political tribalism. The Teamsters is like, look, we're going to listen to all candidates, and we're going to see who has the best plan for our members, and that's how it should be. It shouldn't be tied to the Democrats, and we're only going to listen to the Democrats. Or if they Republican-leaning, we only go listen to Republicans. No, we're going to listen to everybody. Everybody. But Local 100, nor TWU does that. And you want to know why we end up in the position that we end up in politically when it comes to our issues. It's because our union administration don't have a clear, concise plan on how to address politics. They have absolutely no idea on how to address the political situation. Our union is fully tied to the Democratic plantation. They fully tied to it. Instead of listening to all the candidates, they only want to listen to Democrats. And then what if the Democrats don't have the best plan? Then we're stuck with whatever they're giving us. And now we fully understand why we have been getting nothing but crumbs when it comes to TWU and TWU Local 100. In fact, I want to point out this video that I found on the internet just recently of another union addressing Tier 6. Let's check it out. That was a brief video. Let me play that again because it went by a little too quick. Let me play that again. You had a union in Albany organized and mobilized their members to say Tier 6 sucks. That's what they're doing. Other unions are organizing and mobilizing their members while our union is not doing nothing. Let me show you what they're doing instead. Check this out. Did you see how embarrassing that? Let's go back to the short clip of the other union, and I'm going to play our union again. Now check out our union again. So embarrassing. So, and this is not even the main thing I'm going to talk about during this broadcast. It gets worse than what we just seen. But do you see how embarrassing that display of activism was? See, the union administration, TWU, and the International Union Administration have this mindset that the officers can handle everything. They do not want to get the members involved and utilize the members in no way, shape, form, or fashion because these officers are coming with the mentality that they know everything. And you see how embarrassing that was. And how can you seriously send a message talking about Jan Oliva sucks, and in the video, you have officers smiling and giggling? They not even serious. You have members getting their necks cut, stabbed in the back, punched in the face, spit on, all type of assaults. And this is the display that y'all want to show Jan Oliva that you mean business? Is this what our union administration has come to? Nah, this is just how Stand United, this is just how they do business. This is a straight up embarrassment of how they're handling business. This is their idea of fighting back. And the truth is, Stand United, a.k.a. Members First, a.k.a. Management First, they cannot organize themselves out of a wet paper bag if they try to. This is a fact. They cannot organize themselves out of a wet paper bag if they try to. Sad. And trust me, it gets worse because now we're going to get into the abomination of the Richard Davis and the administration press conference today. We're going to dissect it to show you guys that this is a big game for this union administration. And the only reason they are going this route, see, they like to point fingers and say, well, this person in election year, this politician election year, guess what, people? It's an election year for them also. It's an election year for them also. We're not going to forget that. So they're doing all of this right now because it's a few months leading into the official election and getting signatures and getting put on the ballot and things of that nature. But in the process of them politicizing our issues so they could get reelected in, they are embarrassing us. They are embarrassing us. And if you, as a member, think that this type of representation is sufficient, we are in some deep, deep, deep trouble. And the sad part is this. The officers who are surrounding themselves around Richie Davis, the enablers, they are the worst. They are literally the worst because they are not keeping it real with him on how he's handling business. And if they use the excuse, yeah, you know, we tell him behind the scenes that he don't listen, then why are y'all supporting that? See, over here at Progressive Action, we not going to play that gray area business. We going to keep it 100. We going to keep it real. And we've been doing that for over a decade. Our narrative has not changed. It has not changed. And we have been right on every single issue. Every single issue, we have been right. Every single issue. Now, like I said, I took my time today. I dissected the video. And you guys are going to be appalled at some of the stuff you're going to hear right now. You're going to be appalled at some of the stuff from Richie Davis' press conference today. You're going to be very appalled. So let's get into the first clip. This first clip, I am going to call it No Plan, and you're going to see why. So check it out. Listen to what he said. He said he wants the MTA to come up with a multifaceted, comprehensive plan to address the assaults. So you're expecting Jan Oliva, a person that you called the clown, and we're going to touch on that later on in the show, to come up with a plan. My question is, what is Local 100 plan? What is Local 100 plan? But let's listen to what MAPSTOA Vice President Donald Yates had to say.
This is Donald Yates, your Vice President, checking in. Just want to give you a little bit of an update. We just did a press conference with several news agencies here at the Union Hall, and we basically gave out basically our plan and our instruction on what we need to be safe. And the reporters asked several questions. One in particularly, it seems like they was trying to change the narrative on was actually speaking of on keeping us safe. They kept echoing back to police and us saying that we need more protection from the police. But in fact, he was trying to allude to
So Yates said we basically gave out our plan and our instruction on what we need to be safe. He said we gave out a plan. See, this is the problem. Somebody need to tell Donald Yates he got to stay off the internet. He got to stay off the internet. At this point right now, he's clout chasing. He has to stay off the internet because he's doing Richard Davis nor Local 100 no favors. He's giving out conflicting information, and it makes no sense. Like, he was there at the press conference, right? Yates clearly said we basically gave out our plan and our instruction on what we need to be safe. But Richard Davis said this. We just heard Richard Davis say, we want them, meaning the MTA, to come up with a multifaceted and comprehensive plan. But Donald Yates said that we gave them our plan. He did not give them no plan. Richard Davis, during this whole entire press conference, kept saying, we want them to come up with a plan. We want them to come up with a plan. There was no plan. Local 100 has absolutely no plan on how to keep members safe. The only thing they do is regurgitate talking points. They chop and screw our talking points, turn it into something totally different, and screw up the whole entire message. Listen, Richie, I don't care if you steal my ideas or you steal my plan or steal my message. Don't chop and screw it and make it seem like it's something that it's not. But I'm curious, what point is Yates or plan is Yates talking about? They are totally all over the place. They have no plan, and that's what it basically is. Now, oh, let me take that back. They do have a plan. Their plan is to get the MTA to come up with a plan. They have absolutely no plan of their own. It is totally totally a lie, right? But Donald Yates is doing us no favors by being on the internet, giving conflicting messages from the local. Like, somebody seriously need to tell Yates to rein it in. It's time to rein it in. It's time to rein it in. You're doing too much on the internet. You was on the internet about 2 years ago talking about members go out on comp, some for good reason, some for bad reason. As a rep, why would you say that? I mean, he has been saying, every time he turned on his camera, he's saying some wrong information. And I feel sorry for the people who's believing him because it's showing that they do not know the issues themselves. But thank God that we have progressive action. And that's why none of these reps want to come on the show, is because they know they will be shut down from step one. They will be shut down totally. Now, let's get into the next clip where Richard Davis said, I'm going to let y'all hear it for yourself because y'all not going to believe this. Check it out. I want y'all to hear that again. Listen to that message again. So let me get this right. The man who was afraid of the Taylor law and the penalty of going to jail, now, because it's election season, he's willing to give his life for the members. So you're not afraid to die, but you're afraid of violating the Taylor law and going to jail. Can somebody tell me, does that make sense? Do he think that we are stupid? The man who, during our contract last year, that was afraid to have a rally in front of 2 Broadway, now has the courage and the heart to put his life on the line for the members. Do he think that we are that dumb? I mean, this is insane. The extent that they will go to get your vote. Everyone knows that Richie Davis will not put his life on the line for anyone, not even himself. He's afraid of management. He's afraid of NYPD. He's afraid of jail. He's afraid of his own shadow. Let's keep it 100. Now, this next clip I want to get into, I'm going to call it No Ideas. No Ideas. Let's listen to it. First of all, that's an idea. It's not a plan. He has absolutely no plan, once again, on how to address these assaults. The governor came with a 5-point plan. He's obviously saying that he doesn't agree with it. Okay, fine. But what is your plan? You called this press conference to not have a plan? To show, to compare, contrast with the MTA the governor has in store versus what we have in store? That is insane. That is insane. Now, this next clip is going to blow y'all mind. No joking. This next clip is going to blow y'all mind, and I'm going to call this next clip Cameras and Discipline. Let's check it out. Do y'all guys see that he has a problem answering the questions? If you actually watch the entire interview, you will see he, first of all, he's not answering their questions, right? And the reporter clearly asked him that he spoke to members of the trains and stuff like that, conductors and train operators. And we are concerned about discipline coming from these cameras. He did not answer that question because Richard Davis does not care about, first of all, he don't care about RTO. He don't care about subways, right? He barely care about buses. Let's be 100. The second part of this is he never answered the question because he's fallen into management's trap about the cameras. There's cameras on buses. It does not stop assaults. A bus operator not too long ago had a firearm pulled out on him, right? There's things that happen on buses, and buses have cameras. So why is he so much in a hurry to put cameras or co-sign cameras being in cabs? It makes absolutely no sense. Ask bus operators how often are those cameras used against them for discipline versus safety. Let's be 100. Let's keep it 100. And those cameras are going to be used. The MTA is going to say, all right, we've seen Richard Davis' press conference. He's for the cameras. So let's hurry up, get these cameras in. Let's disguise it as it being about safety and crime. But the truth is the MTA is going to use that to discipline people. For the people, the public who don't know how the MTA operate, it's called big stick management. They not into correcting your mistakes. The MTA look to discipline you first, right? Instead of trying to teach you better on what you could do. The first thing they do is look to take a piece of your check. That's what the MTA does. They look to take a piece of your check. And then they hope you figure it out from there. Like, oh, you know, I was suspended for 15, 20, 30 days. I'm not going to make that mistake again because that cost me thousands of dollars. The MTA is not about corrective behavior outside of them basically fining you for whatever mistake you do. In fact, the MTA don't even believe in mistakes at all. You could ask anyone who has been disciplined by the MTA. Now, let me see. Let me go to the next video. Let me make sure that this is it. Let me see. No, that's the camera one again. Let me get to the next one. And I'm going to call this video right here. I'm going to call this one Darcell Clark. And we're going to explain this. Check it out. How fast Richard Davis forgot about what Darcell Clark did, right? Now, everybody talk about Alvin Bragg, right? And Alvin Bragg has become the punching bag of DAs in New York City. And if you listen to a lot of these people's narratives, right, you will swear that Alvin Bragg is the DA for all five boroughs. He's only the DA for Manhattan. And is he 100% perfect? Absolutely not. But he's not the DA for the whole entire New York City. But let's touch on Darcell Clark since he wanted to beat her drum. How soon can we forget the terminally ill man who stabbed MTA conductor takes a plea deal with no prison? This happened in Darcell Clark jurisdiction. This happened up under her leadership. Now, this man was responsible for stabbing and almost killing. In fact, the NYPD charged this guy, William Rivera, I think his name is, or Walter Rivera, something like that, with attempted murder. 2 months later, because of Darcell Clark, the man was let through the back door after being charged with attempted murder, all because Darcell Clark said that he's terminally ill. Well, guess what, Darcell Clark? He knew he was terminally ill before he tried to take my brother Denard Jenkins' life, and you allowed him to slip out the back door. Richard Davis, how dare you support a district attorney who allowed a guy to slip out the back door after almost killing one of our members? How soon do we forget? And like I said, let's be clear. Alvin Bragg is no angel, but Alvin Bragg is not the DA for the whole entire New York City, only Manhattan. And what I notice what's happening with him is that a lot of these people are attacking him with all these right-wing points, all because it's happening in Manhattan, and we all know who lives in Manhattan, right? And like I said, he's not innocent. But Darcell Clark, on the record, has a far worse record than every DA in this city. And the only reason no one cares or say anything about it, well, NYPD talk about her like a dog. NYPD says Darcell Clark does not support them. I think a few other groups have mentioned that she's one of the worst DAs, and this was before Alvin Bragg got on the picture. But the reason why nobody cares is because of the demographic of the Bronx. If Darcell Clark was the DA in Manhattan, y'all would have been calling for her head, because I'm telling you that she is statistically worse than Alvin Bragg. And like I said, that Alvin Bragg attack, those are far right, right-wing points that they attacking him with, right? I don't even understand why Richard Davis would give Darcell Clark a shout-out when she has shown that she's willing to let attempted murderers out the back door because they're sick. There's absolutely no excuse for that. Let's get into the next clip. In this next clip, I am going to call facial recognition. I want to remind you guys that the phone lines are open, so make sure that you call in. Call in if you want to be heard. The phone lines are open. But like I said, this next clip is called Facial Recognition. Check it out. Richard Davis has a fetish for regurgitating bad talking points. And it's quite clear that he doesn't understand what the New World Order consists of. He doesn't understand social credit scores. He doesn't understand how that type of technology will marginalize citizens and harm citizens. How can I expect Richie Davis to understand any of that when he has demonstrated time and time again that he does not even understand transit issues? Let's be quite clear on that, right? Now, let's say for Richard Davis' argument's sake that let's use facial recognition cameras. What good is the facial recognition cameras if the police is not there to stop them from coming into the system? What sense does that make? I've been quite clear that the NYPD has a deployment issue. In fact, I should have pulled that clip up. Mayor Eric Adams today said that he doesn't like the way the police are deployed. So someone is listening to this message, right? If the police is not properly deployed, and the MTA already made it clear that that they can't put, NYPD can't be at every train station, right? And how does it work? You have the facial recognition cameras on the subway. Is the police going to get an instant alert? Like, what's going to happen, right? If the police are not deployed properly, all the facial recognition in the world is not going to mean anything. Not going to mean anything. So he's just, like I said, he has a fetish for regurgitating bad talking points of whoever's giving him these ideas. And he doesn't understand, like I said, the social credit score. He doesn't understand the New World Order. He doesn't understand how this can possibly harm citizens. He's just saying whatever comes out of his mouth. Let's get to the next clip, and this next clip is going to be called They Not Even Hearing You, Richie. Let's check it out. He said a whole bunch there. And if you decipher, if you're on the outside looking in, we all know what's going on. And it's a clear sign that the MTA does not respect Richard Davis. It's a clear sign. Now, think about this. Why would they respect the man who's being currently sued right now by his ex bus operator girlfriend for physically assaulting her, for beating her up, basically, right? Why would they respect him? Now, it's quite clear the MTA read the lawsuits like every one of us. Why would they respect Richard Davis when they know that they helped him last year to table the investigation that was going on against him to make sure that they got what they needed from him this contract. Ritchie can't fully fight them the way, well, he ain't going to fight them anyway because he's in bed with them. That's pretty clear, right? Now, I'm going to ask Ritchie Davis this. With all of these allegations that you have going on against you, I'm not going to talk about them on this program. With the current lawsuit, the gender-motivated violence lawsuit that you're currently in court with, Ritchie, if you was on the other end of that line, in which you are in bed with management, but would you respect you, knowing what the people know about you? Would you respect you? That's something for you to think about. And then once you fully and honestly answer that question, you're going to get the result that the MTA is giving you right now. That's exactly what's happening. Let's get into the next clip. And we go, I hope this is the right clip, but we go call this Clowning Lieber. Let's get to it. See, they've been watching Progressive Action and getting the wrong message. Why are you, as the president of Local 100, instead of organizing and mobilizing the members, because that's where our true length lies, it don't lie in putting an ad in the newspaper of Jano Lieber being made to look like a clown. Let me see if I can pull that up. That's not what you do. And he's also attacking Alvin Bragg. And once again, Alvin Bragg can't hold a candle to Darcell Clark and the things that she get away with in the Bronx as the DA. She cannot hold a candle to Alvin Bragg. Don't believe the hype. But Ritchie, think about this right now because you're all over the place, sir. In the beginning of your press conference, you said that you want the MTA to come up with a plan. And then on the same day, you're saying that you want them to come up with a plan, ad out in the newspaper to put Jano Lieber in a clown suit. Would I want to work with you after you do that to me? Instead of you wasting the union money on useless ads that people are going to forget about tomorrow, why don't you take that money? Because it probably costs around $25,000 to $50,000 to take out that ad. Why didn't you take that money to organize and mobilize the members, to have a rally in front of you? If you don't like Jano Lieber, go in front of his house like I did. I organized a rally in front of his house for the same thing that y'all fighting for now. But being that it wasn't a political year then, and it is now, y'all want to act like that y'all want to fight and things of that nature. It's 100% BS what these guys are doing. Organize and mobilize the members. But we all know that you guys cannot organize yourselves out of a wet paper bag if your life's dependent on it. You cannot organize yourself out of a wet paper bag if your life's dependent on it. I'm telling you guys that this is a complete joke for them. A complete joke. Now, like I said, the phone lines are open. You could call in live, 563-999-3714. If you like what you, I'm not done yet. I am not done yet. We got a lot more to talk about. You could also hit the Cash App. What is that? Right there? You can hit the Cash App. Let me see. Right there. You get the Cash App. $Progressive Action 100. We're going to continue to get into the nitty gritty of this abomination of a press conference. This next clip, we're going to call it Afraid to Hold NYPD Accountable. And I want y'all to pay very close attention to this clip because you're going to see that our union president has absolutely no class whatsoever. And you're going to see what I'm talking about. Check it out. So, Richard Davis and caller, I see you. I'm gonna get to you in a second. So, Richard Davis thought it was smart to tell a reporter, "You look smarter than what you look," or something like that. "You seem smarter than what you look." Why would you attack a reporter with an ad hominem? This is our union president. This is him representing us. If you watch that full interview, you would see the reporters was trying to give him an out, was trying to throw him alley-oops. But just because he doesn't understand our issues, our president do not understand our issues. He goes to ad hominem attacks, right? Now, I told y'all the other day, that meeting that Richie had with Eric Adams, it was Eric Adams telling him, "You better not dare talk bad about the NYPD again." What did I tell y'all? I told y'all that Richie will not talk bad about NYPD. He refuses to criticize or critique NYPD after he made that mistake last week about criticizing them. Then Eric Adams pulled them in and said, "You better rein it in, buddy." That's what that meeting was all about, right? We know Eric Adams is top cop. He don't want nobody talking bad about NYPD. But let's be honest. Richard Davis, we know that he doesn't have a plan whatsoever to keep us safe. He also does not have a plan on how to address the NYPD situation. And I want to be clear on this. There's not a lot of, I don't know. But we get a lot of pictures of NYPD officers sleeping inside our break rooms, right? That's just not a good look when we out there in the field getting our behinds kicked and we don't see police or they taking a very long time to come, right? This is a fact. I also do not like the narrative of, bail reform and police officers got their hands tied behind their back. Newsflash, the NYPD been behaving like this in the subways way before bail reform. And I'm going to keep on saying this. I have dozens of police officer friends, dozens of them, all types of ranks. It's no secret that the police department, the officers, they call them topside. Those are street cops. They say that if you want to be a cop and do no work, go to transit. This is a fact. This is a fact. If you want to be a cop and do no work, go to transit. But let me get into the first caller. Get that caller on the
line.
Hello, Tramal. Caller.
Hello, Tramal.
Caller 6483. 6483, you now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name when you call up?
Hey, Tramal. It's Celso Garcia. No need to hide. Bus operator out of the Bronx.
What's going on, Celso? What's on your mind, bro?
We got to have no fear. I was watching the Michael J. Quill and his press conference. He held no hostages. You could go to YouTube and he didn't care. He attacked everyone and anyone. As long as anyone that was against his workers, he made sure he attacked them. If he had to go to jail, the judge said he had to go back to work. They're not going back to work because his workers are not safe. So my question is why are they still having meetings? Why didn't they just refuse to even meet with the MTA and say, until our workers are safe, we're not going to cooperate with anything that you're doing, any federal money that you need cooperation with the union, we're not going to cooperate until our workers are safe. You'll take a militant stance. You want the workers to take a militant stand? So why didn't you take a militant stand with the MTA? And then that's my first question. And then my second question is, to sell the contract that we got, they went to 200 shop gates. Have they been to any of the locations, talk about safety and holding shop gates across the board to mobilize members across every depot, barnyard, every facility like they did to push the contract that was favorable to the MTA? That's my question. And my third question is, when they agreed to sell out the retirees and give up their health, did they care about the health of the retirees and what was going to be the consequences of their decisions? They didn't care. So you can't tell us to be militant when you're not militant yourself and you're not doing anything militant, as Michael J. Quill was, or Brian was, or the founders of this union were. They risked jail. They risked death threats. They risk almost being killed because they were forming a union. And that's what I'm saying. This is not no Michael J. Quill. And
all right, let me start answering those questions, right?
Sure,
so,
no problem.
Richie said in this press conference that basically he's willing to die for the members, right? So that means that he will be willing to go to no end to protect us members. That's include stopping unsafe work, not being afraid of the Taylor Law, and all of that, right? When I was growing up and growing up through life, I was always told that action speaks louder than words. Right now, the only thing that Richie Davis is doing is giving people word salads, right? His actions do not support what he's saying, right? We've seen that. When they attempted to pull a work stoppage after our conductor brother got his neck slashed, they backed down from it. And then what did Richard Davies say in the newspaper? They ensured me that they wasn't going to do that again. Does that sound like a union president that's willing to die for his members? Absolutely not. Now, you said that they did 200 shop gates regarding the contract. I don't think they did that many. But you're right. Why aren't they doing shop gates to mobilize the membership just in case we have to get out there and put our feet to pavement so we could be ready? It's because that they don't care. They do not know how to organize. They cannot organize themselves out of a wet paper bag. This is a fact. Now, to your third point about the retirees and things of that nature, I've said this since 2016. In fact, the first year that I had the Progressive Action platform, I said that the route that they going down, the only people that's going to be left to be sold out was the retirees. And the retirees didn't listen. Now that day is here, right? Now the retirees, I was also told by Roger Toussaint that every generation have their own fight. Right, I was upset that he said that to me because I felt that the people who's making these decisions on our union now are from his generation. And us new guys here, so to speak, are left to fight the people from his generation. Right? So the union administration, they don't care. Richard Davis, his health insurance is not our health insurance. A lot of people don't understand that. They need to ask Richard Davis that. Is his health insurance the same as ours? It is not. So being that Richie Davis is not going to be affected by our health insurance, right, why would he care
exactly.
whether we are retired or whether we
yeah.
are active? Right now, Aetna has lost coverage. In our contract, it says that the MTA must keep the same level of coverage throughout the lifetime of our health care and while we on the job. If Aetna is losing New York Presbyterian and the doctors associated with New York Presbyterian, how are they maintaining the same level of benefits? Why isn't there a fight about that? So if they don't
right.
care about the active employees, why would they care about the retirees?
And that's what I'm saying. They're acting in an uproar in a press conference, and then they gave up the Corvell, they gave up our workers' comp, and people that are being assaulted are not being paid. They're being rejected for PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. They're being rejected, and then they're not handling their claims. They're not paying people. And so if they're so concerned about people's health and people's safety, why are they not making sure at least that the members are paid for, you know, for being assaulted or for being attacked, not just physically but mentally, and to make sure that people come back stronger and better and that don't have permanent trauma to their bodies and to their psychological well-being. That's my another issue, that if they're so concerned, then they will make sure that they fight in all fronts. And in the press conference, he says he picks up the phone. They all pick up the phone. But a lot of people could say the same thing, that it's hard to reach a rep. It's real hard to reach a rep. You can't reach a rep a lot of times when things happen, especially with tense situations like that. You can't reach a rep. And you can't barely get help on the radio. You can't even get help from RCC. And they come after the fighters harder. You talk about it, you complain about it, they come after you because they don't want you talking about it. They feel like, oh, you don't have a right to speak and to speak your mind, as if, you know, this is a Jim Crow era, that you're not allowed to speak if not you face consequences. And and thank you for speaking truth to power. And that's what I think progressive actions are important for, that speak truth to power. And a lot of people are scared to speak up. But like I keep telling people, when I was in one of those shop gates, I was manhandled by the union. And just like he was treating the people bad there, I felt treated very badly just for speaking the opposite of what they were saying. And I know Michael J. Crow did that. And he was a firebrand. And I wish we had somebody like that fighting for us. That's my main point.
All right, thanks.
So we have somebody fighting like that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Thanks for calling, bro. John. So Celso made a good point, right? The union administration, they only have energy for people who don't go along with their narrative. They just put out a notice on the website citing the bylaws saying that, you know, whatever you're doing, if you're going out there to rally, you can't use the union logo. Nobody want to use that logo. That logo is an embarrassment. Over the past 12 years, Stand United, a.k.a. Members First, a.k.a. Management First, has been in power. Nobody want to use that. That union logo doesn't represent strength. That union logo doesn't represent organization or mobilization. That union logo does not represent fear. That union logo does not represent respect. It represents sellouts. It represents an administration who's not willing to fight for their members. It represents selfishness. It represents lying to the membership. It represents doing the bare minimum. You couldn't pay me to wear that union logo because it's embarrassing to wear. It's embarrassing to see. Nobody want to use that, Richie. You got to be out of your mind to think that that represents anything that will make the members' life a day better. You're weighing over your head regarding the issues here. And to the people that's around him, are y'all attempting to give him some help? How many of y'all told him he did a good job after that video, after the press conference? How many of y'all told him he knocked it out the park? This is the problem that we have. The union administration, the people who make the decisions on release time and stuff like that, they're only worried about being released. They're not worrying about making this union stronger. Let me get to the next caller. Caller 8786, you're now live on Progressive Action TV.
Good evening, Kamel. What's your name? Where you calling from? Charleston from Passengers United.
Charleston DeSosa. How you doing, sir?
Good, good. So, Tramiel, we had the rally on Friday outside the governor's office. All of us were there. I saw the video of the press conference today, and I have to say I was appalled. As a transit advocate, I was appalled. And I hate to say this. I think at this point we've been doing more than the union has. I mean, it's crazy. And when he spoke at that press conference, he didn't speak, you know, with the urgency, with the level of seriousness. I mean, he was all over the place. He couldn't answer the questions. In fact, the press, you know, they got him and they said, you know, you just said one point, now you're switching to another point. The whole thing was a complete disaster. And I don't know, the union right now is in a complete mess. That's all I got to say. I mean, it's just sad. It's sad. It really is. And, you know, that's why we need you, Tramiel, as president. You know, it is what it is.
Well, Charles, this is what I'm going to do. In April, right, hopefully sometime this week I'm going to announce it. I'm going to throw a real big safety rally. I do it every year. I haven't done it since COVID, but I've done maybe like three or four of them. We're going to throw a big safety rally in front of 2 Broadway. We're going to make it the largest ever, so I'll be looking to collaborate with you on that. So once I get the date, let's start working.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there. We'll bring a whole Passengers United family. We'll be out there. And like I said on Friday, the reason why we as transportation advocates have to get involved with the union issues, because if transit workers are getting assaulted, and, you know, if they don't care about the transit workers, what do you think is going to happen to the passengers? We're getting assaulted. We're getting beaten. And that means, you know, we can't get to work. There's no service. So like I told my members at Passengers United, I said, we have to stand behind the transit workers. And, you know, the union right now is a mess. And so that's why we're having an open forum. Everyone's invited to come on our show to discuss things and, you know, be fair to everyone and have an open discussion about issues. But at the same time, at this point, the president running the union now, I think he needs to resign. He needs to go after what happened today. And then he goes on Fox News at 6 p.m. And that was a disaster as well. For 4 minutes he spoke in studio. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
I didn't see that. Send that to me. But thanks for calling in, Charles.
Sure. Thank you, Kamal, for having us on.
All right. Thank you. My boy Charleston, he be out there everywhere shaking and moving, you know, and I've been saying this for years. If the MTA can't protect us, how can they protect you? Right? How can they protect you? If they can't protect their own workforce, how can they protect the riding public? Right? And I've been saying this for a long time. There needs to be allies made between the transit union and the riding public, because we are one. We are literally one. Or literally. I got to say, we're literally one. Right? And the transit, the union administration is not doing anything. They're not doing anything. And it's leaving us in situations. We already had an attempted murder on workers. We already had a train operator die because of an arson. We had another attempted murder with just recently, 2 weeks ago. And it's so sad that if you listen to the press conference, Richie said, yeah, you know, we tried to get the conductor, Alton Scott, out. Why you have to parade a man who almost lost his life around to get your point across? He is not your cannon fodder. It's because of you guys' inaction why he's even in that place. You guys are acting like assaults just started happening when he got his throat slashed. Assaults have been happening for a very long time up under this administration, and it gets more and more egregious by the month. Literally. It gets more egregious by the month. But y'all start having these press conferences. Y'all want to start holding the Jan Oliva accountable as if assaults are a new phenomenon, as if we haven't lost transit workers to assaults. Look what happened to Edwin Thomas. He was stabbed and killed on the bus. Garrett Goble, arson. Denaw Jenkins almost lost his life after being stabbed. And Darcell Clark let him off the hook. Alton Scott, absolutely no description of the guy who almost killed him. No cameras, no nothing. Nothing at all. Let's get to the next caller. Caller 7800, you're now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Are you calling?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Oh, my brother Drummond. Yeah. I should have recognized that number. How you doing?
I'm good, bro. Great show. Let's go to Clark. First of all, let me say, Bragg, like you said, Bragg is no beacon of light. And he absolutely could do a better job. He's disgraceful as any of the district attorneys. But Kelly was just in the Bronx, if I'm not mistaken, last year, talking about he was going to hold those DAs accountable. And he only said DAs because he didn't want to save the governor. He didn't want to save the mayor. And when you talk about the judges, everything is passed down from the governor. And when Richie said, so when they let Ms. Clark, and I feel bad because Ms. Clark is from my daughter's alma mater, I feel bad for sis. But even the cops, Richard Davis said he wanted to be allowed with the cops. He got nothing against the cops. The cops have repudiated Ms. Clark for her abysmal job. How you go to let me say this about Mr. Bragg. He's the only DA. His office has ever called me about what's going on with assault. Said to single him out, and Gonzalez, I got nothing against Gonzalez because he was at their fake symposium to cover up his alleged assault of his girlfriend. And how Richard Davis going to say he had died for us and he's not willing to protect his woman and he's going to die for one of us? This is the hypocrisy of this union. This is the hypocrisy of these folks would do anything to stay in power. These
Drummond,
that would do
Drummond,
anything
that was,
to stay off the road. And it get – what's up, bro?
That was cold.
Hello?
Can you please say that again? Yeah, can you say that again? If he wasn't willing to protect his
– oh, my God. We got a Messiah. Richard Davis is a Messiah. He's our Lord and Savior now. He's willing to give his life for one of our brothers and sisters. And he wouldn't even protect his black woman. His woman, how dare he say that he will die? And he's chasing his woman out the union hall. And you standing behind, you hypocrites, standing behind him like you're so stoic. And you're in support of this man who sat there because it's no coincidence he didn't say Richie Davies because Richie Davies told him to keep his mouth shut. Richie Davis, you could go on Libra. Yes, I hit Libra. We all hit Libra. But I'm not going to go after Canella, that abysmal VP we have, and not go out to Richie Davis. I'm not going to talk about Bedford Park and not talk about Richie Davis. So how you talk about General Libra, omit Richie Davis, and don't say nothing about the governor? She enacted this plan. She held that press conference with the governor
the National Guard, the police, everybody but the union. So you sit here and, brothers and sisters, you got to peek at Richard Davis's sarcasm. The way he got at that reporter is the way he gets at, he's got at our brothers and sisters during the contract negotiations. The way he got at bus operators when he was VP. So do, again, like you say, like I say, do they think we stupid? And they do think we are stupid. And it's time. My next live, I didn't feel like doing, you know, I'm trying to get my health care. I don't want to do these lives. I didn't get a chance to buy a new hood for my live today. So, but I don't want to do these lives. I can't stand there. It's literally, you know how people say it makes me sick? I'm literally getting nauseated thinking about this union. I get disgusted by those who stand around this man and these union reps who have no conviction, who refuse to stand up for what they think is right. I can dig it, though. You got families. This worked good for your schedule. You never had it no good. You can go to functions. I can dig it. You're scared of management. Half these union reps never stopped. The majority has never stepped up to management. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Look around you. How many of these union reps stuck up for you? Are you seeing them? I say it again, and I keep saying, I'll be damned if I stand around and let any manager disrespect one of us in front of me. Can your rep say that? It's like when you go to, if you go to jail, win jury. If you out in these streets, win jury. You go to jail, win jury. You don't tuck it. You don't put it in property. You a man 24 hours a day. Your convictions are for 24 hours a day. You stand on all 10 toes 24 hours a day, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of who you're around. That ain't the rest we have. And Canella, he's telling people, and this is how disrespect, how much disrespect Canella has for you, our brothers and sisters. He go around saying it was just a fight. The fact that he thinks it was just, he can say that, and that's acceptable, and he's a VP, and he didn't see his responsibility there. The fact that he said that, it was just a fight, and when management spoke to him, he said to manager, read the G2 they leaked. Read the G2. In the G2 that he, that management said, they asked the interview Gomez, they said he couldn't. They basically said he was hysterical. But what he was saying was, I shouldn't have did that. I shouldn't have acted outside myself. I should know better. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but he offered up a management, to management, his responsibilities and the explanation to them for his behavior. But he don't think enough of you. I was wrong. I apologize. I shouldn't have did that. I'm a VP. I'm supposed to purport myself better. So, brothers and sisters, they think we stupid. And Richard Davis, I won't get it. I can take it. You're not the articulate man. The press is not for you. Everybody can't stand them right. And you deflected every question. You didn't give one specific answer. You went on the world tour for every response, with every response. But just sit there and say you will, when he said he will die for his brothers and sisters, that is living proof of the fraudulent man he had. Listen, if something happened, I would hope that I would step up and protect our brothers and sisters. I can't stand and let nothing happen. But I would hope, I would not want to lose, in the process, maybe in the pursuit, I might lose my life. I'm trying to go home, but to say that, I can't say that, that I would give my life. All of a sudden, he's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You despicable nothing, and let it be clear. Bring them charges. I don't care about being, I'm going to fight you off for the rest of my life. Do it. They didn't tell y'all. Y'all didn't get the memo. Drummond is good. There ain't no life. If whoever runs for contested chair will be better than Jesse Agueda. Whoever wins, whoever win any of these positions will be better than most of the reps we have representing my beloved department, RTO. We got to come together. We got to get rid of these people. Nobody could be any worse. We got to get rid of these folks. Don't mean us any good. If they did, we wouldn't have the Carvel Corporation.
They wouldn't be starving our brothers and sisters back to work. We wouldn't be getting medically terminated. We wouldn't have them inspect us, harass us when we sick. We wouldn't have that gang sharing agreement trying to get us back on our trains, on our buses, on our platforms, to our barns, to our towers. This administration has sold us out in every turn. Now I get the letter that, oh, wow, I go to Columbia. It's a great hospital. You speak to doctors within the medical community, they will tell you. I said CVS acquired Aetna. They about their money. They're denying claims like it's going out of style. Did Richie Davis and the administration think about that? Are they in bed with Aetna? Aetna is starving us at every turn. Talk to your medical professionals. They'll tell you the problems they have with Aetna. And God help our retirees. We'll be one day. God bless, but they're about to encounter some hell. Doctors, attorneys, they're not getting paid. That's a fact. This is our ministry. And remember, before I go to my get off this tirade, remember doing the, I'm just doing the research. Remember doing the contract negotiations? We're going to fight the Taylor Law. Remember that? We ain't heard a goddamn thing about the Taylor Law. That's how stupid they think we are. This administration is going to fight the Taylor Law. Man, we don't need the Taylor Law to raise a ruckus out here. All we need to do is come together. All we need to have is administration and the president who inspire us, who make us want to fight. We do not have that. Have a great show, brother. We'll talk later.
Drummond came with the fire. The next caller, I'm going to get to you in a second. But he brought up an excellent point. An excellent point he brought up. Richie Davis is willing to die for us when he wasn't willing to protect the black woman that he allegedly put hands on. Oh, that was fire. God damn. Caller 1181, 1181. You now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hello?
Yes. Name, where you calling from?
This is Station Agent Bell Voice, calling out of Brooklyn.
How you doing, sir? What's on your mind?
I just wanted to state the obvious and get straight to the point. And I feel like the biggest problem with transit and the union as far as management is that the public even knows when it comes to transit workers, they don't got our back. So when the public can verbally assault us, that's the first thing, and make threats. They know that if we defend ourselves, we're liable to get fired, transit gets sued. So that's what makes us more susceptible for assault. So I just want to lay that out first. And as far as the union having a plan, the first plan is backing us workers up as far as defending us when we get assaulted and having an actual plan when it comes to when we get assaulted that we actually get paid. As far as workers' comp, it's a shame that we have to get assaulted and not get paid and be scared, live in fear of being assaulted by the public. And the public is encouraged or somewhat, I would say, they have an incentive to just do whatever they feel like because they feel like they're untouchable. I'm not against the citizens or the riding public. You know, the criminals, the fair beaters, they feel like they're untouchable. And it's been like that since the pandemic and way before that. So I just wanted to put that out there. Until the disciplines change when it comes to self-defense and, you know, transit actually backing us workers, like, for example, when it comes to a cop being assaulted or a cop being injured, you see all work. Cops, they come in. Full fold. And the union, I forgot what they call him, what's his name, but the union head for the police, he actually backs up his, you know, his members. We don't have that. And it's sad. I just wanted to put that out there
I guess you could speak on it, Tramell. And I really appreciate you for everything you're doing. You got my support.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Now, that station agent brought up a good point, right, that I didn't cover. At the least, in these press conferences, what they should be saying is, if our members decide to defend themselves, we got they back 1,000%. They not even saying that. But what I would like to say is, if we focus on making allies with the riding public, right, then we won't have to defend ourselves, because then the riding public will see it's not us who's your enemy. It's not us. It's not the workers. It's the people who's at 2 Broadway that make these rules, that write these bulletins. It's RCC who decide to do with these trains. It's not the conductor. It's not the train operator. It's not the station agent. It's not the cleaner. We don't make the rules. And when we don't follow the rules, the transit authority makes sure that we know, because the first thing they look to do is discipline us. Right now, there's a station agent who had a breakdown at work because of the frustration, and her supervisor was not listening to her. Transit is not taking our safety serious. The union is not taking our safety serious. They got her out of service for 2 months at 2 Broadway instead of addressing the root issue. And that's making sure that we are safe and we are heard. The transit authority is not doing that. And the way that they defer that is to say, well, tell your union rep. And our union rep, they don't do a good job advocating for the members and advocating for our issues. This is a fact. This is a fact, right? They do not do a good job. I don't even think they're doing the job. And if they are, they're doing the bare minimum. But this is what I love about this platform. Is that, for one, I don't know who's calling. I mean, I have their phone numbers, right? I don't really know who's calling. And new people call in all the time. So it's great to hear the perspectives of different people from different departments, because the illusion that they want to create is that, oh, it's just Tramell. He's just a rabble rouser. He's a rebel, you know. What's that other word that they be using? I forgot what the other R word is. But they use all these words to try to seem like, oh, it's just Tramell. He's a nobody. Nobody don't watch him. I guarantee you, when I get off of this live, specifically on YouTube, there's going to be thousands of views there. Thousands of views. And our message is being heard, not only in New York, but throughout the country now. Because the messages that I get, oh, I live in Chicago, I live in San Francisco, I live in St. Louis, I live in Texas, I live in Houston, I live in Miami. And our issues are all one of the same. We have a problem, specifically speaking in transportation, but definitely here in New York City. And once again, if the MTA cannot protect their workforce, how can they protect the riding public? For everybody who's watching right now, please like this video. If you're on YouTube watching, hit the like button. If you're watching and you're not subscribed to the channel, please subscribe to the channel. It's very important. You got to get our subscribers up. Twitter, retweet. Please like the video, retweet. Facebook, share out the video in every group that you're in. Put it in your personal page. And on Instagram, we are live on Instagram right now, which is so dope. It's a new feature that's added. But Instagram, make sure that you create a reel out of this. Put this into your stories. Whatever you want to do, let's get the word out. Let's get the message out. On YouTube, please join the channel. It's only 99 cents a month. What they call that, how you could donate via YouTube. I forgot what it is, but you could donate via YouTube. You can subscribe via Facebook. Also, if you have none of that, you can hit the Cash App, $PROGRESSIVEACTION100. But I want to leave y'all with this word right here. And it's what Drummond said. Richard Davis said that he's willing to die for his members. But at the same time, he could not protect his girlfriend because he allegedly beat her up on more than one occasion. I catch you guys later. Peace.